Part 10, Chapter 1. The doors were cracked open, just as he had left them so many years ago. Lying there, crusted with snow, but just where he had dropped it, was the iron bar he had used to open the doors. The smell might or might not be there, for he was now wearing an air mask. They had left just as soon as they could see to fly, and Johnny had spotted them down accurately just before the door. Behind him, in the canyon, the Scots were unloading gear. The plane would have to leave, and they would have to obliterate all tracks with snow before the recon drone came over on its daily round. The calm voice of Robert the Fox was directing them.
Have you got the lamps? Check out the spare air bottles. Where is Daniel? Easy with those explosives.
A Scot came up with a sledgehammer to open the door wider, and Angus rushed over and pushed him aside.
No. He's just wanting a bit of penetrating oil.
Angus was popping the bottom of an oil can. His voice sounded muffled through the air mask. They were all getting air masks on. The historian had found it was very unhealthy to enter tombs. Something called spores sometimes came off bone dust of the long dead and made a man cough his lungs out.
Mind if I slip in first, Johnny?
Said Angus. Johnny took his shoulder pack so Angus could slide through. The mine lamp played on the interior.
Ugh! Enough dead men!
His oil can was popping on hinges.
Try it, Johnny.
Johnny put his shoulder to the doors, and they swung back, shooting a blast of light down the stairs. Angus had stepped out of the way and was now wading on littered corpses, puffs of bone dust rising around his boots. They all stood for a moment, looking down the steps, awed. On this graveyard of a planet, they were no strangers to dead remains. They lay in structures and basements in abundance wherever there was any protection from wild animals or the weather. Corpses more than 1,000 years dead. But reaching down this long flight of stairs were the remains of several hundred men, protected from the air until 12 years ago. Their clothing, arms, and equipment were somewhat preserved, but the bones had gone to powder.
They fell forward,
said Robert the Fox.
Must have been a regiment marching in. See, these two fellas at the top of the steps must have been closing the doors.
The gas,
said Johnny.
They opened the doors to let the regiment in, looks like, and the gas hit them from the canyon.
Wiped the place out. Listen, all of you, don't go in there without a tight air mask.
We ought to bury these men,
said the parson.
They each have little tags on them.
He picked one up.
Nolens Peter, Private USMC number 354. 73524. Blood type B.
Marines,
said the historian.
We've got a military base here, all right.
Do you suppose,
said the parson to Johnny,
that village of yours could once have been a marine base? It is different than other towns.
The village has been rebuilt 12 times. Robert, let's go in.
Remember your priorities,
said Robert to the group.
Inventory only. Don't touch records until they're identified. This is a big place. Don't stray or get lost.
We ought to bury these bodies.
We will. We will. All in good time. Gunners, forward. Flush out and destroy any animals.
5 Scots carrying submachine guns raced down the steps, alert for bears or snakes in hibernation or stray wolves.
Ventilation team, stand by,
said Robert, and glanced over his shoulder to make sure the 3 assigned to carry the heavy mine ventilation fans were there and ready. There was an uneven burst of fire below. The sub-Thompson ammunition was dud, 2 rounds out of 5, and to get a sustained burst, one had to recock the bolt in mid-fire. Robert's small limited-range radio crackled.
Rattle 6, 4, all dead. End call.
Aye,
said Robert the Fox into the mic. there was another ragged burst of fire. The radio crackled.
Brown bear hibernated. Dead. End call.
Aye.
Second set of doors. Tight locked.
Explosives, team.
Robert called over his shoulder.
No, we may need those doors.
Go ahead. Belay, explosives team, but stand by.
Into the mic.
Mechanic en route.
They waited. The radio crackled.
Doors open.
A pause.
Area beyond seems airtight. Probably no hostile animals beyond. End call.
Ventilation team, forward.
The last man on that team was carrying a cage of rats. Presently, a current of air began to come out of the tomb. The radio crackled.
Rats still alive. End call.
There you are, McTyler.
Johnny checked his face mask and walked down through the dust of the stairs. He heard Robert firing the rest of the teams behind him, and then giving orders to clean up the outside area and dust all traces with snow when the planes left. The orders sounded way off and thin in the booming caverns of the primary defense base of a long-dead nation.